Friday, May 10th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you join us here today. Happy Friday to you. You know, it was on this day back in 1930 that an American football player was born in Lake City, Florida, and I just bet you know this American football player better than you think you do. You know, he played defensive end, he played tight end, and he was a place kicker for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And then he ended up getting drafted by the Detroit Lions. He actually played a little bit with Bobby Lane up in Detroit. But the best years of his career would come in the National Football League from 1952 through 1961 when he was with the New York Giants, and he primarily played as a kicker. But you know, he was one of those rare guys in pro sports that actually found more success following his career than during his career. Yes, he was a good football player. He was a solid kicker, but he actually did a lot more that you might remember after his playing career, because you might not remember any big plays he had, but if you are old enough to remember, then you just might remember this voice instead.
They've arrived on the strength of Phil Simms passing. An outstanding defense keyed by Lawrence Taylor.
Yes, George Allen Summerall, better known as Pat Summerall. They say he was given the name Pat because he was so automatic on a point after touchdown kick. He was born on May 10th, 1930. Pat Summerall would pass away back in 2013. But, you know, when they teamed up, Pat Summerall, with John Madden, we had one of the best NFL announcing duos in NFL history. I mean, hearing those clips even now takes me back. I listened to Pat Summerall. You know that John Madden is going to chime in any second, and I loved watching those games when those two were together. That was a phenomenal announcing duo. Pat Summerall, born on May 10th. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us what sports announcers you miss the most. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, if you've got a suggestion, if you have something for us you would like us to answer, feel free to reach out. We want to hear what it is you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear. Just search Daily Dose, scroll down until you see our logo, and you will find a number of Daily Dose items, from t-shirts to hoodies to stickers to notebooks. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up that Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we do have a couple of news stories in the world of sports that we need to get to. But then we will have our weekend sports preview, kind of let you know what is going to be out there this weekend for you to watch. That way you can kind of plan your weekend accordingly. And we will have a Daily Dose top five for you as well. We will get to both of those in just a few minutes. But first up, the Golden State Warriors did get some interesting news yesterday. I don't know if it was great news, but it was better than I guess it could have been. It seems that forward Kevin Durant does not have a blown Achilles, as was first feared, when he pulled up in the third quarter of Game 5 of the Warriors game against the Houston Rockets. The Warriors say an MRI confirms it is just a mild calf strain and that he will be re-evaluated next week. Huh. Yeah, let me see if I have this straight. So they are saying Kevin Durant will miss Game 6 and he might miss Game 7 too with what is being labeled as a mild calf strain? Yeah, I might not be believing what the Warriors are telling us. This feels a little more like gamesmanship to me, and we have one of two options here. This is way more serious than they are telling us, or Kevin Durant is actually going to be playing in Game 7. Remember, the Warriors are getting ready to face possibly two of the toughest games in the history of their dynasty, and Kevin Durant is out with what they're saying is a mild calf strain. Now, if that's all it really is, I might be questioning KD's toughness a little bit. I don't know if I believe this at all, though. Remember last year when the Warriors were playing the Rockets and they were saying that Andre Iguodala was out with a knee strain? Yeah, he might be back this game. Yeah, he might be back this game. And he didn't end up coming back until the series was like over. This makes me wonder if they're doing the same thing. Hey, you're going to have to prepare as though he's coming back, but he's not really coming back. I'm not saying it's not a strained calf. I'm just saying it's probably one of two things. Either he plays for sure in Game 7 if that's needed, or It's way more serious than they're acting like it is, and Kevin Durant is in fact done for the year. If this series against the Rockets does go to 7 games, I'll be real interested to see if KD's out there. If he's not, oh yeah, I think he's done. If the Warriors survive, we probably won't see him again. Moving over to the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks are looking to free up some more contract money because remember, they did give quarterback Russell Wilson that big, fat contract. So yesterday, they cut a couple more players to make some more room for that contract. On Thursday, the Seahawks cut safety Cam Chancellor and wide receiver Doug Baldwin. I mean, Chancellor is a 4-time Pro Bowler, and Baldwin has made the Pro Bowl twice. But these are the sacrifices you have to make when you give your quarterback those huge contracts. I mean, I look at these situations again and again, and we see this from a number of different quarterbacks. We saw Aaron Rodgers do this recently. Now we're seeing Russell Wilson do it. Hey, I want all the money. I want to be the highest paid guy. I deserve that. Okay, well, just know you're probably going to flounder without much help. I mean, you could take less and have more success and surround yourself with better talent. But I mean, we're all not married to Giselle, right? Maybe that's all it is. But remember when the rumor up in Seattle was that everyone on the team pretty much hated Russell Wilson's guts? I don't know if that rumor was true then. Oh, but I know this. I know it's definitely true now. I'll bet every teammate in that locker room hates his guts now because they're all looking over their shoulder going, well, am I getting cut next? I mean, I have a contract. I mean, maybe they need my money now. Thanks, Russ. You big jerk. Couldn't you have taken a little less money and left some food on the table for me? Why did you have to take all of the money? Good luck getting any help from your teammates this year, Russell Wilson. You might be better off having Ciara out there blocking for you this year because I have a feeling your teammates are not going to take too kindly to the Seahawks having to cut everyone to make room for your big money deal. One other story coming out in the NFL, it looks like veteran tight end Benjamin Watson is not going to retire like he said he was because the New England Patriots say they intend to sign the 38-year-old tight end, actually one of their first-round draft choices back in 2004, to a 1-year deal worth up to $3 million. Now, Watson visited the New England complex on Thursday, and he becomes part of a group that is going to attempt to fill a major void created by Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Well, and I guess if you think about it, the void still left by Aaron Hernandez a few years ago too. The Patriots have been trying to replace both of those guys now and both of their skill sets. Head coach Bill Belichick said yesterday that he hopes Benjamin Watson will be able to have the catching skill, the route running, and the work ethic of a Rob Gronkowski while also having the handgun accuracy and the knot tying skills of an Aaron Hernandez. We will see how things go up in New England. Hey, coming back, we still have to get to our weekend sports preview. Now, it's not quite as big as some of the weekends we've had, but I'm telling you, there are still a number of things out there that you are going to want to pencil some time in for this weekend. We have a few things for you to watch. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. We try to do this every week. We don't always get to do it, but it's just kind of nice to know what is coming that weekend. Whether it's Friday night or Saturday night, maybe Sunday, what is going to be out there that I really kind of want to make some time for? I want to see this specific event. We don't go out and just look for events, just anything. We want to look for the best things out there for you to watch so that you can kind of plan your weekend accordingly. Make sure you didn't make plans to do something you didn't want to do anyways, right in the middle of the big game. We do also try to pick the games and let you know which way they will go. Remember all times given our Mountain Time Zone, so adjust your schedule accordingly. But we do have a few things for you to watch this weekend. And we get started actually today right around 12:30 because we have a pretty solid National League Baseball series to keep an eye on this weekend. And like I said, it does start at 12:30 this afternoon. But we have two teams that are playing really well right now because the Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers are actually within a half game of each other on top of the National League Central Division. And you know, both teams are kind of doing it the same way. They're doing it with really good pitching. I know it's only May. And believe me, no one wants to watch less baseball than I do. But Brewers versus Cubs? That might actually be a playoff preview series. Not a bad way to get your weekend started. They will be playing throughout the weekend. I will pick the Cubs in that playing at home. One more Major League Baseball series that will be running all weekend. And again, it has a chance to be pretty entertaining. It will be over in the American League as the banged up New York Yankees, who are just trying to survive with so many players on the injury report, they head to Tampa to face the Rays, who are just a couple games ahead of them in the AL East. Hey, the Yankees could make a little bit of a move this weekend on the Rays if they could somehow just manufacture a couple of wins. And yes, they'll have to do it with some backup players. But hey, if you want to see a good young baseball team with some future stars on it, take a look at Tampa. If you haven't seen them yet, that's not a bad team. I will take Tampa in that series against the Yankees this weekend. Also tonight at 7 p.m., we do have the NBA Western Conference semifinal game 6 between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. And the Warriors will not have Kevin Durant as they go to Houston. Houston must win to survive and get a game 7 on Sunday. Now we saw on Wednesday night, the Golden State Warriors had a few people step up. They finally got an appearance from Steph Curry. They finally got Klay Thompson to step in and knock a few shots down. Hey, we kind of forget that the Warriors did win a title before Kevin Durant ever got there, right? So they are more than capable. And yet, why do I just get the feeling that the Rockets are going to get every single call tonight? That the Warriors are going to play this like, hey, we've kind of got this one in the bank. We can go back home. We can finish this out. I don't know that we are going to see the Warriors' best game tonight. I'll be surprised if we do, but I will also be surprised if we don't see Houston's A game. I think they will come out and they will bring it to the Warriors. Hey, this has been a battle of whoever has played at home. Aside from game one, we have pretty much seen the home team kind of take control of these games. I expect to see the same thing tonight. I expect the Houston Rockets to get a win and force a game 7, which means on Sunday, we could have a very, very interesting game 7. Moving on to Saturday, we don't have a ton of things on Saturday for you to watch, but we actually do have a NASCAR race in the evening as the NASCAR group heads to Kansas to run the Digital Alley 400. That will be on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Kevin Harvick is the defending champion, and you know, he is actually third in the NASCAR point standings right now, which is kind of interesting because he hasn't won a race yet. How are you that high in the point standings, but you haven't won? Are they not giving enough points for winning? Because how is he third? He hasn't won a single thing. I don't know. Maybe we'll see something change and Kevin Harvick will actually get a win at Kansas on Saturday. Also Saturday at 6 p.m., we have the NHL Western Conference final beginning game 1 between the St. Louis Blues and the San Jose Sharks. You know, the Sharks have now managed to get by their last two series, and let's kind of say the refs have helped them a little bit. You'll remember in the last series they had against Vegas, they are the beneficiary of getting a 5-minute major that allowed them to score 4 goals in 4 minutes. Yeah, and then on Wednesday night in game 7 against the Colorado Avalanche, the San Jose Sharks got a goal waved off by Colorado on an instant replay that was anything but conclusive. I guess the good news is it's kind of nice to see it's not just the NFL that hasn't figured out what the word conclusive means. The NHL doesn't get it either. They looked at it. They said, yeah, we're not really sure. But I think it's conclusive. You just described exactly what inconclusive means. So San Jose has kind of skated through, which isn't to say they're not a good team. They obviously are. They now move on to face the St. Louis Blues in the conference finals. St. Louis also had to go to 7 games to get past the Dallas Stars. Both of these teams have been tested. Both of these teams are very tough, and both are getting very good play from their goalies. I kind of wonder if St. Louis could slip by and get into the finals in this series, but I am going to take San Jose in game one. Moving on to Sunday, you know, we do have the PGA AT&T Byron Nelson tournament going all weekend. If you want to watch that, not all the big names are going to be in it. Couple of them here or there, but we're not going to have the huge ones. But one interesting name of note going to be playing in the Byron Nelson tournament is Tony Romo. Yes, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback and current CBS announcer Tony Romo is going to be playing in this thing. There are actually some people saying Tony Romo could be pretty competitive. They say he's a really good golfer. Wouldn't it be kind of funny if we had someone broadcasting his game as he plays in this tournament like he does? Jim, I would look for Tony to shank this ball off into the woods here and then maybe 3-putt for a big fat snowman. Now, I don't usually make a pick in golf like this, but I'm going to on this. I'm going to pick not Tony Romo to win the AT&T Byron Nelson tournament. Now, remember, on Sunday night, we could have a possible Game 7 in the Bay Area. It's going to be nuts if it happens. If the Houston Rockets win tonight, we will see the Golden State Warriors hosting the Houston Rockets in Game 7. We don't know if Kevin Durant's going to play. We don't know if he's not going to play. Either way, we could be seeing the Golden State Warriors with their back against the wall. Can they get it done if this comes to a Game 7 on Sunday night? Like I said, not one of the biggest weekend in sports, but there are definitely some very sneaky things out there for you to watch. Most of all, some really interesting NBA playoff games. So make sure that you set some time aside to watch some of these things. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. So I'm just going to go ahead and say this. The Golden State Warriors dynasty is coming to an end. No, I'm not saying they're going to lose both of these games this weekend. I don't have any idea. But we know that it is just a matter of time. I mean, take a look at the offseason that the Warriors are about to face. Kevin Durant could leave. Klay Thompson could leave. Draymond Green could leave. And if nothing else, we talked about it earlier this week. The Golden State Warriors are aging. This dynasty will come to an end. When we're in the middle of these things, a lot of times we just look at them and we just say, hey, Golden State's going to be great forever. Yeah, I got bad news for you. No, they're not. It's going to come to an end. Now, it might not be this year. Maybe they patch this together and maybe they find a way to win it all again this year. Maybe it comes this offseason. But maybe Golden State gets all the pieces back. You know, they're smart people in their front office and maybe they manage to hold on for another year. Maybe another 2 years. But we know this Golden State Warriors dynasty is coming to an end. We just don't know when it's going to end. But at some point, it will. And it is probably going to end sooner rather than later. Is this going to be the way it ends? Do the Rockets finally find a way to slip by their rival? But here's something to keep in mind. We have seen other modern day NBA dynasties come to an end. And sometimes they were dynasties that we thought, that's never going to come to an end. They're loaded for years. They're going to be great for years. And then that dynasty came to an end too. And you know, it's never an easy thing to watch. But like they say, all good things must come to an end. If this is it, how will the end of the Warriors dynasty stack up to some of the other dynasties of the past? Now, I'm not looking to go back in NBA history that far. I'm looking more at modern day dynasties. Hey, we don't have the eras anymore where an NBA team goes out and wins 10, 11 titles. That's not going to happen ever again. There's just too much competition. There's too much free agency. There are people moving all over. You couldn't do it again. But in the modern day, we have seen some very good dynasties. And at some point, yeah, they all crumbled. Today on the Daily Dose, we are going to look at the top five ends to NBA dynasties in the modern era. And let's just kind of take a look at how they ended. Is there anything that we might see that could be comparable to what we are seeing right now. Starting off at number five. You know, it wasn't as long as some of the other dynasties on this list. But in 1999, the Los Angeles Lakers, they had a few pieces in place. Of course, they had big man Shaquille O'Neal. They also had very young and very talented Kobe Bryant leading the way. But under head coach Del Harris, the Lakers just couldn't seem to get over the hump. Enter Phil Jackson, and suddenly, the Los Angeles Lakers were on a title run for the next few years. The Lakers won three straight championships, and it looked like they actually might win their fourth in 5 years. But in 2004, we saw it all come crashing down. The Lakers had rolled through the season. They had won 56 games. But when they got to the finals, and they were favored over, yes, they were a scrappy Detroit Pistons team, but they weren't going to match up with the mighty Lakers. The Lakers had Hall of Famers on that roster. Who did the Pistons have? Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton? They weren't going to do anything to the Lakers. Yeah, and then they did. And the Pistons didn't just beat the Lakers. They absolutely dominated them with their defense and with their fundamental basketball. But it wasn't just the loss that sent this Lakers dynasty crumbling. Kobe and Shaq couldn't get along. They couldn't put aside those differences. Kobe thought Shaq goofed off too much. Shaquille O'Neal wanted Kobe Bryant to lighten up. In the end, Shaquille O'Neal was shipped off to Miami, where he would win another title with Dwayne Wade. And then, of course, Kobe Bryant would eventually lead the Lakers to two more titles, but those were more on his own. But the Shaq-Kobe dynasty was absolutely finished when they lost to the Pistons in 2004. The Los Angeles Lakers from 99 to 2004, they come in at number five. Moving on to number four. When the Boston Celtics were able to draft Larry Bird back in 1979, it was one of the greatest acquisitions in league history. Think about this. From 1979 to 1988, the Boston Celtics won three titles, and their 86 team, hey, they are in the conversation for one of the greatest teams of all time. They had so much depth. They had talent at every single position. They were well coached. They were highly intelligent. They would be able to compete in pretty much any era. That team went 67-15. They lost just one home game all season. Larry Bird won his third consecutive MVP, and Bill Walton took home the Sixth Man of the Year award. But by 1988, the Celtics were starting to run out of gas. Bird's back was a mess. He just couldn't stay healthy. Kevin McHale's feet were banged up. Bill Walton was in all kinds of pain in his back. And when the Celtics drafted Maryland stud Len Bias, who they hoped would be the future of the franchise, only to see Bias die from a cocaine overdose, you knew the Boston Celtics were a team in decline. In 1988, Boston went 57-25. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but then they lost to a younger, more talented, and definitely tougher Detroit Pistons team. Hey, there's no shame in losing to those Pistons. But the Celtics wouldn't get back to the NBA Finals for another 20 years. That dynasty was over. Again, age kind of caught up with Boston. It wasn't so much players not being able to get along. They just ran out of gas. They just couldn't do it anymore. The Boston Celtics of 79 to 88 come in at number four. Moving on to number three. And this group wasn't, I guess, spectacular. They weren't flashy. But the San Antonio Spurs won a ton of games during their dynasty run. And it was a pretty long run. Behind guys like David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and eventually, yes, Kawhi Leonard, the San Antonio Spurs won five titles from 1999 until 2014. Now again, it wasn't crazy dunks. It wasn't these huge three-point barrages. It was just smart, tough, well-played basketball under head coach Greg Popovich. In 2013, the Spurs had been poised to win yet another title, but in Game 6 against the Miami Heat, with the Spurs up 3-2 in the series, San Antonio led by 5 points, just 28 seconds left, and of course, Miami Heat guard Ray Allen hits a three. Somehow, the Heat come back and win the series. But the Spurs weren't done. In 2014, they would return and win a rematch against LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and the Miami Heat, which was their fifth and final championship. But by now, Tim Duncan's gone. Ginobili and Parker aging, and Kawhi Leonard, I don't know, he would pretty much just be mad at everyone. He hurt the ankle the 1 year against the Warriors. He ended up demanding a trade. The San Antonio Spurs have not been back to the finals since. Although they do maintain a postseason appearance streak of 22 years, that championship dynasty of the San Antonio Spurs, yeah, it's over. They now have a whole new crew in there. It doesn't look anything like it used to. The San Antonio Spurs come in at number 3. Moving on to number 2. And yes, we already discussed the LA Lakers and their dynasty from 1999 until 2004. But that dynasty couldn't hold a candle to this one. The Los Angeles Lakers had won the title clear back in 1972, but then they just couldn't seem to get past tougher, more physical teams, even though they had an all-time great in big man Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But in 1979, when the Lakers drafted Michigan State point guard Irvin Magic Johnson, showtime came to LA. The Lakers found some toughness under new head coach Pat Riley, and you know, Magic Johnson and Pat Riley, they just became one of the all-time coach-player duos. They just had so much success together. The Lakers rolled off 5 championships from 1979 until 1988, and they were actually looking to get one more in 1989, but they got swept out by the Detroit Pistons again. Kareem would end up retiring, and now, I mean, Magic was getting older, James Worthy was banged up, Byron Scott couldn't stay healthy, and 2 years later in 1991, the Lakers did actually kind of limp into the finals again. Yet this time, they would get beaten in 5 games by the next dynasty that was coming. The Lakers' Showtime era was over after losing to Michael Jordan and the Bulls in 1991. Hey, same kind of thing. Got older, started to wear down, and we saw one other thing with these Showtime Lakers. They got knocked off by the young up-and-coming kids that were better than them. The Chicago Bulls finished off that Showtime dynasty for the Lakers. And of course, those Chicago Bulls come in at number 1. Now, you have to remember, when you think back to the Chicago Bulls, and you think of the Bulls drafting Michael Jordan, the Bulls weren't just bad. They were one of the worst franchises in all of pro sports. People don't realize that. They're like, I don't know, the Bulls are always kind of good. Jordan just made them a little bit better. No, the Bulls were horrible. They were one of the worst teams in the NBA. They had won just 27 games the year before they got Michael Jordan. Dynasty?
Playoffs?
There was no way the Bulls were going to be a dynasty. They were just hoping to win some games. And they did win some games. It's amazing to think about. In his 13-year career with the Bulls, Michael Jordan never missed the postseason. I know we've probably said that here on the Dose before, but think about that. Never missed the postseason? On a team that was known for being horrible? That's a pretty amazing feat. I mean, not everyone can do that. Just kind of thinking about that, you know, in current day standards. Who just missed the play? Oh, that's right. Never mind. Now, it took some time for the Bulls to build up enough of a team around Jordan. And then when they did build up that team and go get guys like Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and BJ Armstrong, it took some time for Michael Jordan to let go of some of the control that he would take over during games. But head coach Phil Jackson finally convinced Michael that if he would involve his teammates throughout games, he would have more left to finish the game when it was crunch time. In 1991, the Bulls finally toppled their nemesis, the Detroit Pistons. Then, of course, they would go on and beat Magic's aging Lakers and win the title. From 91 to 98, the Bulls would win 6 more championships, failing to do so only when Michael Jordan decided he would go try his hand playing minor league baseball. If not for that, yeah, there's a good chance the Bulls win 8 in a row. But in 1998, the Bulls had to fight a little bit harder than they had to previously. Scottie Pippen's back was getting worse. Ron Harper's knees were never the same after he had those surgeries. And you never knew what you were going to get with crazy Dennis Rodman. General manager Jerry Krause felt the Bulls were too old and hey, we just need to tear it down and start over. We've talked about that on the Dose before too. Sounds like a great idea. Not always the best idea. Because sometimes, be careful what you wish for. You tear it down and you start over. Yeah, you're starting over with nothing. The Bulls refused to sign Phil Jackson to a new deal. So Michael Jordan said, well, then I'm out. I'm not coming back. I'm not playing for someone else. And then Jerry Krause decided to trade Scottie Pippen to Houston. In the season following their 98 title, the Chicago Bulls won 13 games in 1999. And honestly, they've pretty much been rebuilding ever since. Now, this one was more, yes, they were getting older, but then management stepped in and totally crushed the dynasty. Hey, I don't know if the Golden State Warriors dynasty is going to end this year. They could put things together and keep rolling for a couple more years, but Father Time is absolutely undefeated. And make no mistake about this, the Warriors dynasty is going to end soon. The biggest question for the Warriors, how will it end? Will it end with them winning everything? Or will it end with them eventually getting decimated and being unrecognizable from the great team that they once were? We might get an idea of how it's going to end watching the Warriors this weekend. Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I know that we had some issues this week getting our apps going. We're still kind of working on that, trying to fix the bugs as we moved over to a new platform. But I think it's going to be better for us in the long run. Always remember, you can always go over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and find all of the episodes over there if your app is not updating. But trust me, we are still working to make sure everything works for you and you can download it as easy as possible. Hey, but thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you so much for finding the show if you couldn't find it. And more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show. We appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.